You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome inside Studio 34. Fantasy Sports Network, FST Today, Overtime Edition. The Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. That is I, Wall Street, Matt Medica. The all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Good morning. Happy Monday. I hope you're not having a case of the Mondays as I try to log into my computer. I'm not having a case of the Mondays. I don't really get cases of the Mondays no more, right? Because for like 8 years, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and now I don't have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning anymore, so I'm very happy about this. Well, at least currently. You never know what might happen tomorrow. I don't have to wake up 4:30 in the morning no more. So, like, I don't have a case of the Mondays. I'm well-rested. I'm fresh, ready to go, ready to rock and roll. Coming up on the program today, go over some NFL news and notes. We'll go Rotation Nation, stay inside the Beltway, talk about the Washington National staff. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll do some ADP pick'em. Matt Medico was in the beat Chris List League last night, so maybe try to go through some of those draft results, see how that team shook up and came together. And then I guess we can start right here. Oh, yeah, profiling Black history, we're going to do Richard Sherman. And I guess we'll start right here, all-in kid Jake Seeley. Good morning, sir. Happy Monday. And did you enjoy any Olympics over the weekend?
Yeah, definitely enjoyed some Olympics over the weekend. We took home gold in both the slopestyle, men's and women's.
Oh, okay. So who the 17-year-old, the kid,
Red Gerard?
Yeah, Red. Was Red like one of the dudes that was that
not,
in that
was
slope?
Not one of the favorites.
Okay, no. Oh, okay.
No. Oh, yeah, he was the he's the one that won the men's slope style. He was not one of the favorites. He wasn't even supposed to medal. Max Perot and Mark Morris, both from Canada, actually came in second and third. They were the favorites. And then Marcus Cleveland is another favorite. So, he wasn't even inside the top three. It was actually a huge surprise that he won. It was actually a great day. And then the women's, Jamie Anderson was supposed to win. Jamie Anderson won. She was supposed to win. She won last time. She's arguably the best. The only problem with that, the women's was a little disappointing, though, because they were supposed to have three runs. They had to cut it down to two because of the wind. And actually, there was two different riders that were having pretty good runs, and then they ended up having to stop or overshot because of the wind.
All right, Matt Medica, that's an Olympic update right there. You caught any Olympics this over the weekend?
That I did. The Russian girl on ice, or the Olympic athlete from Russia, Medvedeva.
Yeah, Meds.
Meds. As I said earlier, she was sensational, probably the highlight of the weekend. But that 17-year-old, Red Gerard, shout out to him. The second youngest, or one of two of the youngest U.S. athletes to ever get a gold medal.
There you go right there. That's your Olympic update brought to you by the good people at DKMS. Head on over to DKMS and check it out there. They're good work. Sign up. Be a donor. Fantasy sports for a good cause. Olympic sports for a good cause. DKMS.com. Don't forget about that. So that's fun right there. So that's where we got started. Man, we got the Olympics out the way. Don't have to worry about that no more because I didn't get to watch any Olympics this weekend. I was doing the father thing with birthday parties and a whole bunch of stuff like that. So we're up and rolling FST Overtime when we come back. no matter how much expectations you have for your favorite NFL team, they have to get through the offseason first. And the San Francisco 49ers, things are looking up, but there is a problem. We'll discuss that when we come right back. FST Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
FST Overtime right here on the network. Thanks for rocking with us. Appreciate you so much. All my friends. Yo, what's good, all in?
I just wanted to, I know you said we got through the Olympics, but we were hitting the break, and I get to finish telling you about McMorris.
Who's McMorris?
I just want to tell you, Mark McMorris is the one that finished bronze, the Canadian. I said it was one of the favorites. I just wanted, he was in a coma this time last year. He hit a tree last year and broke like 17 bones, and that's not an exaggeration. Broke like multiple bones, ruptured his spleen, had a collapsed lung. They put him in a medically induced coma, and he was back this year to win a medal.
Shout out to Mark Morris, Olympic comeback athlete of the year. That's crazy right there to go through all of that, still have the courage to go back up on that hill and come down. So shout out to him, Matt Medica.
Yeah, no, I saw the picture on Twitter of him like a year ago in the hospital bed. That did not look good, and you know he medaled in the Olympics. So hey,
so you go,
that's
right,
a great
there.
Story.
Shout out to him. He gets a game ball.
Yeah, he gets the season long game ball.
Yeah, he gets the game ball. We haven't given a game ball in a while, so shout out to Mark Morris getting it done. That's impressive.
McMorris.
I'm glad Mick Morris. I'm glad you brought that up, All In Kid. I'm gonna be thinking about that all day now. That is definitely you go through adversity and come back and medal. So shout out to him for that.
And he was out of the hospital in 12 days.
He got good genes, good DNA. Yeah. Wow, that's impressive right there. That would have been a long stay if it was me, Jack.
Oh, I know. He was supposed to be there for at least a month, they said. And so, yeah, you, me, any of us would probably be like 6 months.
I've got a crick in my neck right now that I slept wrong last night. It's killing me. shout out to the Goon Squad, everybody in the YouTube chat. Dilly Dilly, welcome in. Glad to have y'all. So I'll log on in a few minutes and check it out. Want to start a little NFL stuff before we get to Rotation Nation and get into some of the fantasy baseball talk. Jimmy Garoppolo signs a big deal. What is he, the highest paid player in the NFL right now, something like that?
For now.
Yeah.
Until Kirk Cousins signs.
Yeah, until Kirk Cousins signs. So shout out to Jimmy G. He goes out there, get the job done. He gets his deal. 49ers paying up a lot for potential, and I do understand it, and I don't see it's a problem with it. 49ers are a team that a lot of people are looking forward to having a big year this year. Matt Medica, people say that they can win that division. They should be one of the six playoff teams in the NFC. Jimmy G gets his money, Matt. Obviously, the 49ers had to do this.
Well, he was going to get paid regardless, even if he got franchised. So I think people need to realize that. And like I said, it was the right time. They had to make the commitment. And, you know, he's the highest paid guy for now, as Jake said. The thing is, I saw I think it was maybe Friday, if I'm correct. The 49ers are 20-1 Super Bowl odds.
Yeah, I think that's ninth. If I'm not mistaken, All In Kid, I think they're ninth.
I thought they were seventh.
Oh, even they went up.
Or maybe whatever it is.
Whatever it is, it is a lot. But Jake, they have a lot of money. They're under the cap. They have a lot of money, and a lot of free agents are knocking at the door of the San Francisco 49ers. I think Bryce Butler sent a tweet out. I've heard that Josh Gordon has been sniffing around that situation out there with Jimmy Garoppolo. A lot of people want to get out there to play for this team, but let me ask you this, Jake. Do you think they bring back Carlos Hyde? If not, what are they going to do with the running back? And number two, can they afford everybody that wants to come play for the 49ers?
They can, but that doesn't mean it's going to work. We've seen teams throw around money like crazy before. I mean, go back to the Redskins for years, and you know, it very rarely does. I mean, that was the whole point about the Giants when they did it defensively, is everybody was saying this might not work, and it was actually a surprise. That's not the norm, that you spend that much money with that many free agents, and it works. And for them, I mean, it really got them in the playoffs, and it didn't do much else. It wasn't a Super Bowl team, so they can spend all they want. But first of all, Allen Robinson's probably not getting anywhere because Jacksonville's going to franchise him if they can't re-sign him. So, you know, is Josh Gordon really going to put you into the playoffs? No. Is Josh Gordon and Bryce Butler and another? I mean, they still have plenty of pieces. Their future is terrific. Their outlook is terrific. Are you talking about playoffs next year? I'd say no. Are you talking about 2 years? I'd say very likely yes, because you can address it in the draft. You can make the signings this year. And I think that if you look at what they signed, I don't think you're going to see them sign like a Josh Gordon. I think you're going to think, unless they're thinking Josh Gordon for 3 or 4 years, I think they're going to see them make signings that are long-term, like they did with Lynch, like they did with the GM, like they did with everything with this team. I think they're being smart and they're thinking beyond just 2018. So that's why I don't think they're all going to sort of go after every big name to hit for one season.
I'm a Kyle Shanahan guy, be honest with you. I think Lynch is doing a good job, Matt Medica. What do you think is the situation? You think Hyde is back as a part of this? You think Hyde is still a part of this organization when we start in 2018?
I forgot to answer that.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
I don't, just because of how the whole, from the very early parts of camp throughout, it never seems like he's a Shanahan guy. We saw when Jimmy G came in,
the receptions went away.
The receptions evaporated. I mean, I would want him on my team. I'd like to see. I'm very interested to see where Carlos Hyde ends up. I don't think it's with the 49ers. For some reason, it doesn't seem like he's their guy. I don't think they're going to pay him what he wants to get paid. So, yeah, I think Carlos Hyde ends up somewhere else. I mean, the Giants. Yeah, Deion Lewis is another guy out there. But Carlos Hyde on the Giants would be a good fit.
I think so, and that's an interesting name you brought up, all in kid, Deion Lewis. Tony, when he was doing the weekend update yesterday, or the news desk yesterday with Tony, he also brought up Deion Lewis to the 49ers. I think Deion Lewis is a little bit too banged up injury history, and I don't know if he's a Shanahan type back.
Not as much as Carlos Hyde.
It's similar. Yeah, that's true. They both have injury concerns. So you say no Hyde. You say a guy like a piece like Deion Lewis is a better fit.
Or if they just draft somebody. The fact is, I agree with Matt. I don't think Hyde's there to stay. And that has nothing to even do, really, with the drops in receptions for Garoppolo. Yes, that's a testament to maybe he doesn't fit as well as they want. But, you know, it's not Shanahan's guy. Like, we've seen this all the time. Is the concern when we had Jack Del Rio in Oakland. It was the fact that, you know, there wasn't his guy. And then you had Latavius Murray wasn't his guy. And then you have the fact of when, you know, we had the new regime of Gruden come in. It's like, well, is he going to want Lynch? Because he's not his guy. Like, you always have to consider this with the coaches, especially when it comes to running back. If they're not their guy and they're not their fit for the offense, you look at Joe Williams, the excitement about Williams is that he could be Tevin Coleman. I don't necessarily think that's still going to happen, but I think that if you look at Shanahan, he's probably looking for somebody that's his kind of running back and more like Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and I don't think Carlos Hyde is it, and then you still have the injury history. Like, you don't want to invest in Carlos Hyde, especially, like I said, if they were maybe going to be in the playoffs this year, I could see bringing him back on a front-loaded deal, but if you're thinking long-term, there's no sense in bringing back Hyde.
All right. Another thing they got to worry about is the situation on the other side of the ball with the defense. Reuben Foster arrested again. I believe that was yesterday. This time the reports are domestic violence. Not really too much being shed on the story, but do know he has a domestic violence arrest. He is out on bail right now. But he should have a 6-game suspension like Ezekiel Elliott did. So Reuben Foster, one of the best young defenders on that team, is going to be hated toward a suspension. Before we start putting these teams in the playoffs in the Super Bowl for next year, do understand that the athletes on these teams have to get through the offseason. Very important, Matt Medica. You can't start penciling your team in to the championship or to a division championship or to a division crown when you know some of the characters that you have on the team. Foster was a guy where the issues started last year at the combine and they have continued.
It is unfortunate because this can't continue to go on with the NFL. They're going to have to figure out something. I mean, if I own a franchise and there's players, and anybody that's got a suspect background in this year's draft, I think is going to even fall a little further. Because you can't be drafting guys. And look, Foster went, 31st overall, something like that, or whatever, yeah. 30th, wherever he went.
He was dropping because of his off the field.
I mean, it wasn't the talent. We saw him on the field, what he could
crazy.
Do. But, you know, if you're going to start investing and paying high draft picks for these kids, this just can't happen. It wouldn't be tolerated in any other workplace. The NFL doesn't want to have this black eye on their face every year with this. You know, no, it doesn't. It's nothing to do with race. It could be any.
No, I said no pun intended. You went there, man.
I said
no pun intended. You said black eye.
So, you know, it's just unfortunate. And these young players, I know they're all catered to and all this and that. But you're getting a golden opportunity, and you just can't let it go.
Foster, Jake, puts himself in a bad spot, puts the rest of the team in a bad spot. According to the letter of the law and the rules, a 6-game suspension should happen for Foster.
Well, it's up to 6 games. It's not a standard here, 6 games. But, yeah, of course, for what we've seen so far, there's definitely suspension coming. And the fact is it's what the NFL is at this point. And if they want to take their hardline stance and stay with this and fix the culture of the NFL, there should be 6 games, as you said. So that's what it should be. And now, obviously, there's plenty of time before we even get close to OTAs and stuff like that. So the fact that we can find out what the legalities are, because, you know, we have the whole case with, I'm not talking about the recent Ezekiel Elliott one, but the other one, like going back when he was coming out of college, about the, it was just a whole rumor and that was never true. So you do have some situations where things might get cleared up, but as of today, it doesn't look good. And, you know, it's, you got to understand this. These guys, since they're in high school, their entire life is about their being aggressive and hitting people. And I'm not saying, look, before anybody jumps to a conclusion, I'm not saying it's right. This, what I'm saying is we need to invest more time in maybe the counseling, the teaching, the, you know, just being around the players and helping them be able to turn that switch off, because that's the problem that we have, is they don't turn the switch off.
Yes, toxic masculinity is not going to work. So there you go, Ruben Force. Need to get your act together. Start to touch on some, I got some other NFL topics I want to bring up. We'll sprinkle them in throughout the course of the program. Maybe we'll even hit them on when we go Roto Experts, the podcast version. When we come back, though, Rotation Nation, the Washington Nationals.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
FST Overtime right here on the network. A lot going on this week. Got Valentine's Day. Got NBA All-Star break. Pitchers and catchers reporting.
Did you see the memes for Paul Pierce last night?
I saw some of the Paul Pierce memes. yikes. Cleveland Cavaliers went in there and beat the doors off the Celtics on Paul Pierce night. And that's the, you know, Paul Pierce has been, and LeBron James have had many battles. I think Pierce once said that, I think LBJ once said that his toughest competitor since he's been in the NBA has been Paul Pierce. And LeBron brought the new crew in there yesterday afternoon and beat him down pretty good, Arlen Kidd. Did you watch it or you just saw him?
No, I just saw the memes. I saw a little bit of during the third quarter. I was in between watching some of the Olympics and doing other stuff. Yeah, so I saw a little bit of it. But, yeah. Well, you tell me, Corey, are they fixed? Are they better?
They are definitely a contender in the Eastern Conference now. They don't have that. They don't have nobody that's going to demand minutes. Nobody that's going to demand shots, maybe except for Clarkson. LBJ is best when he's making the players around him better. They got better defensively. They got younger. They got more athletic. So, yeah, he might be the best general manager in the NBA, LeBron James.
I think they're better, but I think Cleveland.
You still think Boston?
Toronto or Boston can beat them. I think they are beatable. So, it's much better than what it was. That looked like a sinking ship. So
they had to do you. A lot of times when you hear the people talk about the trade, it's Cleveland. They said that they had to change the culture, and whenever they say they had to change the culture, that means that somebody in there was not getting it done, and that person that they're blaming is Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas goes from a guy that was fifth in MVP voting at the end of the season to a guy who is all of a sudden an expiring contract, a player that can be shipped because you don't have to pay him. That's crazy.
Real quick, did you talk about Paul Pierce night out the throw in? I heard that. Someone said Paul Pierce was the best Celtic offensive player. I found that pretty funny.
Ooh, that's tough. Not when they had Larry Bird.
That's
Larry
what I'm
Bird
saying.
Was a Larry Bird's a beast. Even though the homeboy that passed away, Reggie Lewis, also was a great offensive player. But obviously, we never got to see the full scope of his career. Time to go Rotation Nations. And there we go. We keep it inside the Beltway. Last week, we finished with the Baltimore Orioles. Today, we started up with the Washington Nationals, the Curly W. My Washington Nationals, my National League team. And obviously, you talk about their rotation. You start at the top with Max Scherzer. Jake, you know what we got? You know what we get from Max Scherzer? We got 5-plus years of over 200 or more innings, 6-plus years of over 200 or more strikeouts. This is a dominant fantasy ace, a SP1. But I ask you, Jake, is he the SP1? Should he be the first pitcher taken off the board?
He can be if you're worried about the health when it comes to Clayton Kershaw. And the interesting thing, so I finished – completely finished my hitter projections over the weekend. I'm almost done. I'll be finishing pitchers today. At first run through, pitcher projections, when it we talk about pure value still, and Matt's going to understand and probably echo what I'm about to say, is when you talk about the innings that you get and the fact that you could have somebody like Rich Hill who ends up inside the top 15 despite the fact that he only throws 140 innings because of how effective he is when he does them. I still have Clayton Kershaw number one. I ended up with Clayton Kershaw. He's in front of Max Scherzer by... When it comes to the score, which is how I rank, and if anybody ever wants to ask me how to explain it, I can explain it to them. It's less than a half of a point. It's a very slim margin. If you want Scherzer because you don't have to worry about that health, but when it comes to Clayton Kershaw and the whip that he's going to give you and the strikeouts per inning that he's going to give you, what it gives you, I could still see taking him and just hoping that he gets the 180, 190 innings because they'll be better than anybody else.
What do you think, Matt Madiga? Is he the SP1 of SP1s?
He's the best pitcher in baseball. So as long as you get 175 innings from him, I think you're fine. Scherzer got the 200 last year. He had the groin injury, was it? But he still got that 200. I did take back in the first week of November at first pitch. I took Scherzer ahead of Kershaw. But I haven't taken a starting pitcher in the first round in any of my money NFBC leagues. If I was to take one starting pitcher in the first round, it's going to be either Kershaw or Scherzer. And if it's later in the first round, I'll probably just take Kershaw, just because if I can get 175, what he does in that is just phenomenal.
That's your guy, right, huh?
I mean, if you look at it, Kershaw's the only one that's going to flirt with getting underneath a 2 ERA.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's wild, right?
If you want to say you're going to take Scherzer, I'm fine with it too. Because, I mean, the dominance that he has he was dominant before that, but since coming to the National League and the National League East, and he gets the Marlins, an even worse Marlins team, the Mets still have many flaws on offense, in my opinion, as well. So I can make the case for him too, but those would be the top two I'm going to take. And it's not really just a National League thing over an American League, because the leagues have kind of merged as far as ERA is a much closer thing. And Kluber, you know, we see what he did from June on. And Chris Sale put up 300 strikeouts last year. I can't see that happening again.
All right, so now here we go once again. The second member of the Washington Nationals rotation is Mr. Dynamite, Mr. Electric, double S, Steven Strasburg. You know what you get with Steven Strasburg, the electric K-9. We've seen two seasons of over 200 strikeouts. We've only seen one season of over 200 innings logged. Last year, it was 175, still put up 204 strikeouts, Jake. The second best pitcher on the Washington Nationals, Steven Strasburg. Some say this guy has Cy Young stuff, could very well be the best pitcher in baseball. Durability is where you find him in the second round of fantasy drafts, correct?
Yeah, man, it's also, I'm never going to take him even in the second round of fantasy baseball drafts. The fact is, like, what do we could project him for? 160, 170 innings? That's great. And I just made the argument of how quality those innings are, but I'm not talking about taking those quality innings in the second round.
Interesting one right there, man. I think you're going to...
What do you project him for this season? Or what would you? I
don't innings know, wise?
You, innings wise.
I can tell you where I ended up with it. Let's see.
He has a career 288 xFIP. Which is pretty. It's telling you how good he is.
That is a nasty number. That 288 xFIP.
I have him for 165 innings.
Okay, I think I would go 160 to 175. If you get to 175, though, you saw what he did last year with it. So I mean, like you said, you got to stop thinking about 220 innings as like the ace level thing. Nobody even hit 220 last year. So, right. I mean, for me, I've been saying it for months now, 200 is the new 220, 180 is the new 200.
All right, so what are you doing?
And I completely agree with that. It's just that's why, but when I'm talking about 165, I'm not taking that guy in the second round. Like, I completely agree with that. Matt and I have been on the same page as this for a long time. I'm in the whole, like, you don't expect those kind of innings anymore. And this is why you like somebody like Ohtani, even though the concerns are, well, is Ohtani going to pitch anything more than 160-some-odd innings? But where you're getting Ohtani, where you get a lot of these guys who are already factored into that, like the Rich Hills of the world, I threw him out early, although he's more like 130, 140. But the point is like, if I'm going to go with somebody who I don't expect to even get to 180, I'm not taking that in the second round.
Explain, Matt. Now you would do it in the second round. You would do it in the second round of a 12. Would you do it in the second round, Strasburg, in the second round of a 12-team league?
In a 12-team league? In all honesty, in a 12-team league, I'd be more apt to do it because there's more replacement value,
okay, understood,
quality value out
that
there.
That makes sense.
For me, if I have it my way, I would love to just, If I had the number one pick, this is how I pretty much think would start all my teams if it lined up that way. Mike Trout, and then DeGrom and Carrasco. I know I hear about Carrasco. Well, hey, you got to worry about him. He got 200 innings last year, and two out of the last 3 years, he's had 180 innings or more. I mean, pretty much, if I wanted to break down every pitcher, I could make a reason why not to draft everybody.
Okay.
You know, you really can with pitchers. And the way it is, you know, if I can get one, if I can get those two, I mean, that's my ideal setup. Trout and then DeGrom and Carrasco. It's all about, like, where you're picking too. Because that's going to dictate, and that's what most of these, like, NFBC players will do. You know, whether it's a 12 or a 15-team league, where you get your draft spot. I mean, I'm never a slave to ADP. I'll jump guys I like. I even did it this weekend.
What's his ADP? What's Strasburg's ADP? Can you look up Strasburg's NFBC ADP in 12-team leagues?
I can probably.
Because what I want to know is, Jake said it's not worth the risk because of he's not going to take that kind of talent.
Strasburg's he's the number six pitcher off the board.
He went in the Beat Chrysalis League I did this weekend. He was the last pick in the second round. It was on the turn. So
the 2-3 turn in the 12-team league. Is that too rich for your blood at 165 innings?
No, I could do it. I'm fine with it. I can find the replacement. Look, if I get 165 innings from him, and I replace that with another 35 innings of quality, that's a hell of a pitcher. Just to go off my point, the guy who had the number one pick went Trout and went Strasburg Bumgarner.
Okay.
Which is
basically the same thing.
Really, either way, in a 15-team league, it's gonna change. You're not gonna get Strasburg Bumgarner.
So yeah, and that's the only difference is there's five pitchers behind him I'd rather have, Bumgarner being one of them. Like, before we get to Strasburg, I'd rather have Syndergaard, Carrasco, Bumgarner, DeGrom, and probably Severino, and then Strasburg.
But, I mean, can't you make the same argument with Syndergaard as with Strasburg? I mean, Syndergaard pitched how many innings last year? And I love Syndergaard. I like what I'm hearing in the fact that, you know, he's not going to throw max velocity every pitch. He's not coming in, you know, that he gained whatever 10, 15 pounds of muscle. So, I mean, it sounds better.
But it's 1 year versus multiple years of Strasburg. That's the only reason I differentiate. I mean, because you could say the same thing about Bumgarner, although his isn't the same kind of injury.
Yeah, no, Bumgarner. I can't knock Bumgarner just for the fact that it was him going country on an ATV, whatever the hell he did. And, you know, and I do believe he rushed back because he's a prideful athlete. And he knew he let his team down, and he got injured in a non-baseball way.
All right, there you go right there. That is the beginning. When we come back on the other side, we'll continue to go Rotation Nation. Still got to talk about Gio. Still got to talk about Tanner. Take a look inside that bullpen. We go Rotation Nation, Washington Nationals. I bring up some, I'm going to get to Gio's, what you call a joint? Streamer? Steamer? Steamer projections.
Steamer,
yeah, there you go. I'm going to get it. I'll take a look inside Gia's steamer, see how the guys feel about that, let you know if he has any fantasy value. It is FST Overtime, Rotation Nation, right here on the network.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Come back to a little nasty Nas right here on FST Overtime. I was a big Nas guy those first couple albums. Then he kind of got a little bit weird to me. I'm still
even though you didn't know which album was the song we were talking about the other day. Affirmative Action was off of.
I could have swore Affirmative Action was off the Firm was off the Firm biz, the Firm album, and it was not. That was shocking to me. But I did recoup and pull it together. Nas did a joint at the Kennedy Center recently. Where it was like he had like a band and he was performing at the Kennedy Center. It was crazy.
With like an orchestra?
Yeah, with an orchestra. So that was I wish I would have known about that in advance. I may have could have attended. I found out too late. FST Overtime. Got the accuracy expert, Jake Seeley. Wall Street, Matt Medica. Rotation Nation right now, discussing and breaking down the Washington Nationals. Obviously, they got the two big studs up at the top with Strasburg and Scherzer. Now we get to Gio Gonzalez. Jake, his steamer projection is 12 wins, 10 losses, a 340 earned run average, 8.04 K to 9, 190 innings, 170 strikeouts. In the Beat Chris Leitz league that Matt was in last night, he went in the 14-15 turn of a 12-team league. That is the stats that we have right now for Gio Gonzalez. Where do you differ at with those streamer projections, and do you think it's a worthy value on that 14-15 turn of a 12-teamer?
I think the value is fine, but I'm looking at it right now, and I was shaking my head. I'm much higher. I have him as a 3.83 ERA and a 1.31 WHIP. The biggest thing is I think Gio's season last year is probably one of those late season career best seasons. I had Gio. Fortunately, I wasn't expecting Gio to do what he did last year, and I'm not expecting him to replicate that.
Yeah, no, I think it was like a perfect storm.
An outlier.
You look at everything. It was a perfect storm that came together. I'm kind of surprised that Steamer hasn't been a 3.40. I'm not buying that. I wouldn't be surprised if he's pitching to a 4 ERA and stuff like that.
Oh, I might have been looking at the wrong thing. Hold on. Yeah, my bad.
Oh, gosh.
Steamer has my bad. Hold on 1 second.
I'm more in line with what I'm seeing now.
Steamer has him. Steamer has him at 416, not 340.
Damn, they really like Gio. I was saying maybe I'm missing something.
Sorry about that, whoever Steamer is. I apologize for reading that wrong. I was looking at his
his
walk rate is what I was looking at.
Just to throw things out. I mean, the BABIP was very depressed last year, and his career BABIP is close, 290, 300, somewhere in that range, as opposed to he put up like a 250 average last season. And he's been a career like 73% left on base percentage, and last year was like 81.5%. Like Jake said, you want to call it a career year late, an outlier like you said, perfect storm like I said, use any of those terms. Can he get you innings? Absolutely. Look, if he pitches to a 4 ERA, is that terrible? No. When the league average is like 4.45, a 4 ERA is not terrible. So,
right. Jake, let me ask you this question. Same draft. On the 13-14 turn, Matt Medica takes Danny Salazar. Would you prefer Salazar over Gio?
Yes.
Salazar.
Ceiling. It's all about the ceiling. Yep.
Yeah, for me, at that point, like, who'd I take here? I think I went Godley and Bundy. Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong one. I went Blake Tryon and Salazar. Look, I'm going to take Salazar at that spot pretty much every time. Just because of the possibility of what he can be. As I've stated before, there's like three outcomes for this guy. He can be really good, he could be injured, and he could be in the minors. But, he had like a 33% strikeout percentage last season. That's pretty insane in almost 100 innings pitched. So we know what the possibilities are. And like I said, the spectrum varies. But at that point in time, I'm going to roll.
All right. So now the next member of this rotation is an interesting guy. He has a good K to 9. At least he did last year. He's got some good stuff, Jake. Home runs can be frustrating. The walks can be frustrating also. Are we playing a potential game with Tanner Roark, or is he what he is, a jag, just a guy?
No, he's a little bit better than a jag. I'm actually trying to find where I got him right now, so I can tell you. Roark, I got him at 58. I got him for what are the numbers? Because I got him for basically 145 innings, a 4.11 ERA, and 1.33 WHIP.
Let me get the correct Steamer.
Oh, no, it was 145 strikeouts.
Steamer has them all. 11-10, 4.33 ERA, 144 strikeouts.
Lower. Almost the exact same. I have 145.
Mm-hmm. 144 strikeouts for Steamer, and the innings.
What's his WHIP?
His WHIP is whip. Because this is. Oh wait a minute! It's always hard to find.
I got 4.11 and 1.33.
WHIP. Steamer has his WHIP as. How come I can't find his WHIP?
It's further down on the page. It would be.
You're on Fangraphs?
Yeah, this is. I normally don't.
I don't know why it's in a completely different section like that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Fangraphs.
Look, I've never really been a Tanner Roark guy. I'm not opposed to drafting him as a back end of my rotation guy. The thing here is that second half was actually really good. And there is a lot to like in that second half. Look, he put up over a 25% strikeout. You know, that's pretty impressive. It went from only 18% in the first half. That 80 innings is pretty good. And like I said, the left on base percentage was only 70%. It wasn't like he had like an 84% where you could say he got lucky and stuff. The xFIP was 373. So, and the other thing I really like, and it's not a guy I've ended up with, but I wouldn't be adverse to owning him, is also with that 25% in the second half, it comes with a 51% ground ball percentage.
Jake, I got that whip. That steamer projected whip was 1.36.
Yeah, I saw that. They're higher on, the steamer doesn't like him as much as I do. They're higher on ERA and whip.
All right, so you're in.
And I still have him in the 50s.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Jake. He's in a 12 team redraft. He is a bench pitcher, or is he a waiver wire guy?
Oh, he's definitely a bench. I thought you were going to say bench or a starter. He might be your fifth best starter.
Okay, all right, cool.
I mean, he's in the 50s. 15 teams.
Well, that makes sense.
That's already four each.
Yeah, just so you know, where is he? I think he's going like 250 here. Yeah, his ADP is 252 basically.
Yeah.
So at that price,
dollar make you holler.
He's a guy. He's on a very good team.
Yeah.
And it's,
can he get better?
I think he got better in the second half.
Probably gonna go for more than a dollar. He's probably gonna go for like six.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. He's definitely gonna go more than a dollar. But you know, look at the names around him.
I forgot.
Julio Teheran, Sean Manaea, Tanner Roark.
Yeah.
You know what? It's for me, out of those three, it's going to come down to Manaea or Roark, and Roark's at the better situation. Manaea has the higher floor.
Now, let me ask you this. We do rotation nation, Washington Nationals. Should we be discussing A.J. Cole, Matt?
He's going to be somebody that might get in there and stuff. I'm not. He's a dollar guy to me. You're going to, like, late in the reserve round.
Jake, anything to see with A.J. Cole, or can we get to the bullpen?
No, you don't have anything to see with J.J. Cole.
All right, A.J. Cole. Can't say a dollar make you holler because, like,
somebody has to get hurt.
Somebody really go for a dollar in the baseball auction.
If he ends up with a rotation spot,
then he has a little bit more value, obviously.
He hasn't lived up to, you know, and Washington's really like.
Is he a player to watch in spring training, a guy to keep an eye on?
I mean, I'm going to be watching him just to, you know, because he has the possibility of getting into this rotation. And the Nationals.
I don't think they have a fifth. Yeah.
The National. Matt? Yeah, no. What's the kid? Faridi? I always say his name wrong. Eric.
Oh, yeah. That's not even a guarantee.
Yeah. It's going to be a couple of people. But the thing is, Washington seemed to really like this kid throughout. They had him. They traded him. They traded to get him back. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't come to the potential that they saw.
Indian givers. Oh, Native American givers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My bad. I don't think you can say that anymore.
My bad. Yeah. Let's just forget I said that all together.
My point basically is I think he gets shot at some point.
Excuse me, yo. I apologize. All right, the bullpen, Jake. You got Sean Doolittle, Ryan Matson, Brandon Kinstler. Is somebody going to get traded? Is Doolittle a secure piece? Is Ryan Matson still in the mix? I know in years in the past, this bullpen has been a problem for the Washington Nationals. These are the three guys I wrote down right here: Doolittle, Matson, and Kinstler. I remember Kinstler was a part of but didn't they acquire all of these dudes last year in a trade at some point?
Yeah, they did.
Just about all of them, yeah.
Is this Doolittle's gig for the whole season?
Oh, you asked. I know which question you're asking. Yeah, as of right now, it's Doolittle. Yeah, he'd be the one that I put the money on. But at the same time, I'm not doing it anything more. I don't even know if he's inside my top 20 for closers, because it comes down to the fact that they have other options. This team has never been trustworthy when it comes to closers, just because not only do they mix and match, it doesn't seem like anybody ever holds on to it, wants to keep it for the entire year. Actually, I have Doolittle inside the top 15, but that's with the fact that. How many saves does he have? 30?
It's also the fact that closers are such a terrible.
The closers are terrible this year.
It's really bad. Look, Doolittle, if he can stay healthy, has the skills to hold it down and actually be a good closer. Problem is,
Doolittle really helps.
Doolittle never stays healthy.
Okay, well that sucks. And what about the other dudes, Mattson and Kinsler?
You rather have Brad Hand or Doolittle?
I'll go with Brad Hand. For me, it's Brad Hand. I like that part. I know people don't like lefties, but the dude brings the heat. He made some nice steps. I'll go there. It's close. Mattson seems like he doesn't want to be a closer.
Yeah.
He kind of stated that when he was in Oakland.
So he's fine being a setup
dude. He didn't want to close.
Hey, Ryan Mattson, don't cut yourself short. Closers get big money, dog. Well, what are you doing?
He's got enough money at this point.
He got a 3-year deal 2 years ago, something like that. And Kinsler, to me, he's more of just a jag. He got the saves in Minnesota. And he was having a good year for himself. But he's just another piece. I think at some point, if Doolittle goes down, at some point, they're going to have to acquire.
All right. There you go right there. Rotation Nation, Washington Nationals. Coming up on the other side, let you know about some DFS golf right quick. Give you a special on that. Maybe you want to check that out when I come back and tell you about that. Our profile in Black History will be on Richard Sherman. And plus, I got a few more news and notes from the NFL. FST Overtime right here on FNTSY Radio.
Fantasy Sports Today.
49ers are a team that a lot of people are looking forward to having a big year this year. People say that they can win the division. Jimmy G gets his money.
The 49ers are 20-1 Super Bowl odds.
Yeah, they're under the cap. They have a lot of money, and a lot of free agents are knocking at the door.
Their future is terrific. Their outlook is terrific. Are you talking about playoffs next year? I'd say no. Are you talking about 2 years? I'd say very likely yes.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Profile in Black History, Richard Sherman from Compton, California. How about that? Before we get into that, though.
Old school members.
Yeah, look, this is the original Snoop Dogg right here. Before he was Coach Snoop, he was a stone cold gangster. Anyway.
Friday night, you put him on the glass.
That's right. I forgot about that. Matt Modica, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry. Simply sign up and enter fantasyfactor.com. Once again, what you like about Fantasy Factor is single entry contests only, not to mention flatter prize pools, smaller fields. They run NHL and NBA free rolls daily. Sign up over at fantasyfactor.com. Today, our Black History Month profile in Black History is Matt Modica uses a picture of Homer Simpson and Barack Obama.
Is that sound funny?
That is funny.
Hey, that's why I
seen a picture of Barack Obama over the weekend where he had a full grown beard. I think that might have been Photoshopped though, but
he does got some pretty big hands.
Barack Obama or Homer?
Barack Obama. Well, look at that picture he does.
I saw that thing with the Homer thing. I must have missed something that happened over the weekend.
No, because Barack Obama had his portrait, his official portrait, him and Michelle. Which is a fine portrait, and he's got a bunch of bushes behind him.
Yeah.
So now they got the Homer Simpson thing going in there.
Yeah, so I saw that. So that's from his portrait? Okay, see, I didn't understand.
What do you think about the tweet that he finally put the bushes behind him?
That actually was pretty funny. All right, Richard Kevin Sherman was born March 30th, 1988. He's an American football player, cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks. He has been selected to the Pro Bowl 4 times, voted All-Pro 4 times. He is also a Super Bowl champion. Sherman plays college football for the Stanford Cardinals as a wide receiver and a cornerback. He has the most interceptions in the NFL since he entered the NFL. So he is the current active interception leader in the NFL. That is Mr. Sherman. Richard Sherman was a scholar athlete at the powerful Dominguez High School in Compton, California, where he started in football and track and field. He also was a scholar student athlete at Stanford University with the Stanford Cardinals. He's got his master's degree in communication, and he also returned for his final year eligibility at Stanford in order to begin a master's degree program. So Richard Sherman is someone who takes his education very serious. As far as some of his other things go, he's a Super Bowl champion, 4-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first team, second team All-Pro in 2015. Like I said, the current interception leader. So there you go right there. He's obviously suffering from injury right now. Jake, we think that Seattle Seahawks defense has seen its best days, but we do still like Sherman as one of the best corners in the NFL?
No. I think Sherman's also seen his best days at this point. And the fact is that Sherman's also was one of the better ones, but let's also give credit to how great that defense was around him, too. Like you're able to freelance and take risks as much as he does. There's a reason why he's the interception leader. It's going to help you when you can rely on your teammates as much as he can. There's a lot of corners out there that can't do what he can do, not because they don't have the talent, but because they don't have the backup behind him to make the plays that he can make. Not taking anything away from him in that aspect. It's just I think that Richard Sherman was always great. I don't think he was ever one of the best in the league.
There you go, Matt Madika, Richard Sherman.
No, he's a hell of a player, a hell of an athlete. Stanford, he has a very smart individual as well, and he's part of that Legion of Boom. I mean, there's really not much you can say as far as on the field stuff. He's produced to me at every
the moment after the NFC Championship game. Was that too much, or was it overblown by the media?
What specific point?
The thing with Michael Crabtree. I'm the best in the league. I'm the best with him and Andrews at the, yeah, Andrews at the end of the game.
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Heat of the moment and stuff, you know. As long as you're one of the best, you know, I think
talk
that's
it.
Fine.
Walk it, talk it.
Don't not be. And
there you go right there. Also, don't forget everybody who does DFS golf. Daily Roto is on free promo. Their golf product this week. Their golf product is on free promotion this week. So the win probabilities, all the tools, all the algorithms, all the good stuff they got going on at Daily Roto. Go ahead and check it out for free this week. FST Overtime is out. We'll be back in about 10 minutes for Roto Experts for those of you on FNTSY YouTube channel.